If you're a high school graduate listening to this, I want you to cast your mind back to your high school graduation. What do you remember about that time? Maybe you remember sitting on a sweltering football field or in a crowded gymnasium, as names are called. Maybe you remember getting your cap and gown. Maybe you remember being handed your diploma or a party or lock-in for graduates that your school had afterward. You probably also can remember a feeling of, let's say, uncertainty about what happens next. Because regardless of when you graduated, you were faced with a bit of a predicament when you finished high school. What to do next? And that question has many aspects. It has to do with what you're interested in, what you're capable of, what you have access to. It affects your life in so many ways, not the least of which are financial. And those are complicated things to think about and make decisions about when you're only 18 years old. That's why this week in the EdTech Club, we're rejoined by Junior Achievement's Ed Grahulski. You may remember him from our May 2020 interview about the financial impacts of the COVID outbreak on college planning for high school students. Well, Junior Achievement has helped commission a new survey that delves even deeper into these questions and how the changing modes of education and the uncertainty that's come with that are affecting students finishing high school right now in ways that may be somewhat novel. So this week, we are looking into the class of 2020 with new survey data about the financial impacts of the COVID crisis, remote learning, and the changes to K-12 and higher education on young people. Ed Grahulski rejoins the club to explain all of that and more, and it all starts right now. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. This week, as I said, our guest speaker is taking us through some new survey data about the class of 2020 and about how the changes we're seeing in the world today are affecting that class.
So I'm Ed Grahulski, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Brand for Junior Achievement USA. And yes, we did do an updated survey similar to one that we had done back in April during Financial Literacy Month. This one really focused on the class of 2020 and those high school students who are graduating or, you know, either have graduated in May or graduating around this time right now, and to really get their perspective on how much the COVID pandemic and the economic situation has impacted their plans for the future. And so that's really, really the area of focus for this survey.
Tell us a little bit about the methodology you used to put together this study.
Yeah, so we worked with a company, Wakefield Research, and this was actually a study that was put together in conjunction with PMI Educational Foundation. And so we worked with Wakefield Research, and they interviewed 1,000 basically high school graduates for 2020. So, you know, I always think about a high school graduate being an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old. Sometimes could be a little younger, sometimes a little older. So that was the sample group that we did for this survey.
And some of these findings are not, you know, surprising that there has been an effect, but they are sort of maybe eye-opening in a certain way. I mean, a third of high school seniors who have changed their plan based on this COVID outbreak, more than a third of them are saying that they will now work to keep up financially, and almost a third are expecting to delay their college start date, and another fifth within that says they've actually changed their career path. Those are pretty big changes for a pretty large amount of these students.
They are very big changes. You know, part of it, and the survey was, you know, conducted at the end of May. And at that time, and I'm not sure how many universities had shared what their plans were for in-person versus online. So that probably was a part of the factor. But the other thing, and I think you're starting to hear more about this, is the economic impact that's happened to these families and the fact that you have a lot of these students who are graduating who are like either their parents can't provide support for their college education now at this time, or they are needed to actually work. I mean, we had 40% of those surveyed are working. And of those, half of them said that they or their families are depending on their income for living expenses. So there's a lot of immediacy happening here in terms of this response. So part of the reason I think you have such a dramatic, snapshot of what's happening is people are dealing with this in terms of real life circumstances and how to pay for the now and not necessarily thinking about what am I going to be doing in the fall. So that I think that is a big part of this.
You mentioned 40% of seniors say they work. And out of that group, almost half of them are saying that their families depend on that income. I'm thinking, if I'm not doing this wrong, that's about 20% of the respondents saying that their seniors going possibly to college or at least graduating high school are a part of being the financial unit of the family. That I can only imagine that is going to see some longer term effects even after the world reopens.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that. One of the things that we've been looking at is, it's interesting because, when we look at the current situation, you have this global pandemic, you had this, this dramatic economic decline that you haven't seen since the Great Depression, at least short term. And then obviously all the social change that's happening now. And that's all happening in the course of 4 months. You can look back at how millennials were shaped by the Great Recession. And it was pretty profound in terms of their risk aversion and kind of how they're behind in terms of wealth accumulation and kind of how it impacted their educational decisions. What we're dealing with right now, if this is going on for another year or so, is going to have much more pronounced impact, I think, on Generation Z than what we even saw with the millennials.
And even of these students you surveyed that are planning to attend college, we see majorities or pluralities in that group are really concerned about how specifically the COVID outbreak is going to affect that college experience. I mean, the results, 58% are concerned about a change or decline in academic quality. I mean, that's a big number. More than half concerned about how their dorm life is going to look, which is a pretty obvious concern. And then all the other school-sponsored events, dining halls, all these kinds of places, these students are thinking, I don't know what this is going to be like, and it may not be good, right?
Well, absolutely. And I do think you're looking at a lot of situations where, if you're planning to enter college and your intent was to go to a campus, have the college life, have that in-person experience with professors, and now you're like, okay, I was planning to, I've either saved or gotten student loans or a combination. And now you're telling me, this might be predominantly online and that's not what I was planning for. Obviously that would impact. Now there's obviously a lot of things you could do in online education that is great, but there may be other, it kind of doesn't take into consideration the student life that comes with it. So that may be part of it. And again, not really being sure. You are hearing colleges come out now with their plans. But then again, a lot of them are saying, this is what we're planning to do. But, if there's a second wave, but if something happens, that we may not be able to follow through on this. So I think that plays a lot in, a lot of that plays into this.
Yeah. And related to that, and, maybe this leads into some of the, the actions or ideas these results might spur. I mean, the results say 40% say that this outbreak has affected their plans to pay for college, how they're going to approach that, the cost of it. And more than a third who are planning to go to college say they are less excited to go. That's kind of a bummer. Sounds like a bummer, but it also sounds pretty reasonable. So when you look at those kinds of results, what does it look like in terms of how colleges in particular are going to approach these issues? How are they going to get students comfortable with the changes that are happening?
Well, and again, I think you're already starting to see this. I think part of it is there's a lot of communication happening now that maybe wasn't happening a month or so ago, just because colleges hadn't figured out yet what they were going to do. So I think that's part of it is having those conversations, providing assurances to parents and caregivers that, health is a number one priority. The steps they are taking to do their best to ensure that the experience is as close to, the in-person experience is as close to what, students would normally be able to experience. So again, I think a lot of it's communication, a lot of it's planning. And I mean, the reality is that nobody really knows for sure you know, what this fall is going to look like. You know, it seems like things are getting a bit better. You are seeing some upticks in cases in different parts of the country. You know, it seems like we've kind of learned that if you do use the social distancing, the mask wearing, the distance, you know, the spacing, you can kind of manage around it. Of course, these colleges, a lot of them were not built, you know, designed with that in mind. So it's how do you make that work? And so I'm sure that's a lot of the conversation that's happening right now.
In this survey, we see the effects on these graduating seniors. We see it clearly, too, with their families. And of course, that kind of makes a connection in our heads to the actions being taken by higher education institutions. Now, if I'm a K-12 educator and I'm part of that system that is creating these graduates, do you have a sense of how public school educators or pre-college, you know, K-12 educators are approaching this, or what they can do to help students wrap their heads around these financial and cultural and social changes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the challenge, obviously, again, it's such a dynamic situation that we're in right now. I think, you know, educators are probably struggling with it just like everybody else. You know, I would say, you know, when you hear students, especially students who really worked hard academically to succeed in school, saying, I might put off going to college for a semester or a year, I would think educators would certainly want to encourage them to look at ways of continuing with, you know, higher ed, you know, right out of the gate and not put it off. Because it's one thing when you're considering a gap year or something like that because you want to go travel the world a bit or do something you haven't been able to do. It's another thing where I'm going to sit at home, you know, because I'm not sure what I want to do. I don't know if that's something it's definitely something I think educators would want to talk to their students about, to really encourage them to have some momentum and something happening, you know, as they go, you know, explore their post-secondary education options.
And especially as we think about, you know, there's a lot of talk now about synchronous and asynchronous learning. This is all building on stuff we've heard about for at least a decade or so about flipping classrooms and things like that. And of course, the rise of technology that allows that to happen. You know, I guess there are a lot of things out there that even if you're taking what we might call a gap year, you could take online courses that actually give you credit, or you could take open courses that just keep you engaged in the learning process. Do you have a sense that there are maybe options there that can kind of, you know, give a handrail to a student that maybe is in between schooling?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a little bit of research in the survey. We didn't delve into it too much, but, you know, on that area of the career change, and it wasn't a huge, you know, portion, so it's kind of hard to read how accurate it is, you know, across the whole student body. But it did seem that there was a shift in interest to things more like, I mean, obviously, medicine, healthcare type jobs. But the other thing was those kinds of professions that you could actually train for online. I think that is an area that's more of a consideration now than it was before. And there are certainly a lot of situations, I mean, computer sciences, you know, office professionals, those kinds of things. So there's a lot of areas where you don't necessarily have to be in a lab, or you don't necessarily have to be in a classroom or a part of a group activity, or at least in-person group activity to advance that. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of students may be taking a look at, you know, given some of the realities that they're having to face.
Yeah, that's a really interesting, I don't know why I said it that way, that's a really interesting aspect. My wife is laughing at me now. That's a really interesting aspect of the survey, though. 74%, almost three quarters, said they would be interested in a career that basically fits the description of what we'd call project management.
Right.
And almost all respondents, 94%, said that they excel at traits that align with that, meaning problem solving, teamwork, organization, managing many different tasks. And two-thirds said they would be interested in learning more about that kind of career. So I think that's what you're getting at in terms of these students thinking about jobs that can be done anywhere, that really rely on digital technology, and that are based on skill sets that are maybe a little more amorphous or a little less specialized and involve reacting to problems and coming up with systems. That's a pretty interesting outcome.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing is not only the being able to prepare online, but the fact that a lot of the respondents said, you know, their parents ended up working from home. Well, you know, obviously those jobs require some sort of technical proficiency online component, unless you're talking about like a skilled trade type position where you're still going out, but you were considered essential. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's going to be a lot of the conversation going around, which is, okay, we've got these jobs or these careers where you can train online. We can do a lot of it online in a case of an emergency situation or a skilled trades type situation where you can actually social distance in a lot of cases and it's an in-demand area. So I think those are a lot of things that maybe people are going to be looking at. You know, when you look at the data, the folks who are most hurt, at least in the initial waves of layoffs, now this is much broader. A lot of people are being impacted by it, but the ones who really took the brunt of it were those folks who hadn't had education beyond a high school diploma. And so I think what this is going to drive home, you know, longer term is that you do need some sort of post-secondary training. You do need a certification or a two-year college or a career tech or a four-year degree or whatever. So I do think that maybe something that comes out of this is that students are going to realize I need something to go with. The question is, what's that going to look like? And a lot of it, you know, we always encourage kids to look at their talents and their interests as a starting point. It's not, don't do it because of the money, you know. It's great, right? Obviously you want to look at things that are in demand, but really do something that fits with who you are, and you're going to have a much more success in life because it's going to be something that you're passionate about, you're going to stick with, you're going to get really good at. And so that's certainly one of the areas that we hope, you know, students look at as they're going through this.
Yeah, it makes me think again about that number from the survey that, you know, 94% of these students feel like they have these traits that are at least aligned with a like project management or a similar career. I mean, they have been learning how to work in teams. They've been learning how to organize their work and the work of others, how to solve problems when they come up. That's a different kind of, that's a more critical thinking kind of learning perhaps than, you know, learning a particular skill and being able to just replicate it. So I can definitely see how students might think, at least see their skill set and be able to start to apply that to different careers and think critically about that.
Yeah, and you know, other data, not necessarily with the survey, but one of the things that we've always found is that kids are always interested in jobs where they can help people. That's really one of the big things, even more again than the money piece of it. And if you look at something like project management, I think in the PMI EF quote, they even talked about some of the roles project managers have been playing in terms of the recovery. You know, you've got to have emergency planning. You've got to, you know, there are obviously project managers involved with the hospitals to get them, you know, to address the situation. So, you know, there are careers out there where young people may not necessarily realize what that potential is. And you know, as a result of this, you know, if you've got 16% or so that have, you know, reconsidered the career, that's something that could come out of this in terms of them really stepping back and taking a broader look at what's available out there and what really makes the most sense for them. So that may be something that comes from this.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, PMI, you know, one of the thoughts that came out of this, and again, we'll link the results in our description, but one of the description is, it does talk about hospital construction, infrastructure to deliver medical equipment and develop it, even revamping grocery store supply chains, which might sound kind of anomalous. But for those of us here in our home state of Texas, you know, we have heard a lot about how our local chain HEB was revolutionizing how they do their work in order to function during the outbreak. So it seems like these students at least have a sense of these skill sets that are solving problems now may be able to solve different problems in the future.
Yeah, and that's definitely, again, one of the things that have come that came out of this research that I think is encouraging as students are taking a look at their options going forward. One of the challenges in these situations, and you know, as a father of teenagers myself that are kind of in this area, kids don't always bring these issues up. And so yeah, as a parent or a caregiver, it's always important to start those conversations so they can think through what they're doing versus, you know, feeling they need to make a decision and well, I don't want to bother my parents. You know, those discussions need to happen and they are thinking about this stuff.
All right, folks, we are once again out of time for this meeting of the EdTech Club, but of course, we've got a few notes before you go. For your homework, as usual, I'd like you to check out the show notes to this episode, where you'll find links to the study we discussed. And for you go-getters who want some extra credit, you've heard me talk about this before, but there is still time to access the innovative on-demand sessions at TCEA's virtual 2020 Elementary Technology Conference. You can get up to 100 hours of CPE, so to get access, check out elementary.tcea.org. Of course, keep up with the latest from TCEA on social media. Look for TCEA on Facebook, Twitter, and more. And help out the EdTech Club by leaving us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and, of course, spread the word. And if you've got thoughts and ideas for future episodes of the EdTech Club, let us know at podcast@tcea.org. So there we go, another meeting in the books. And until next week, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.